Thank you for listening to Crimatorium, the place where crime resides. Crimatorium can also be found on YouTube. Thirteen-year-old Cynthia Kuhn was your average teenager from the 70s. When not attending Forsyth Junior High School, Cynthia, or Cindy as she was affectionately known, could be found in her room listening to music or hanging out with friends. January 19, 1970 was set to be a typical day for the Kuhn family. In the early morning hours, Cynthia left for school, but she would never return. 53 years later, web sleuths, family, friends, and the community are still left wondering what happened to their little girl. Cynthia Kuhn was a typical teenager. Her father, Dr. William Kuhn, and her mother, Mrs. Kuhn, pushed Cynthia to perform well academically. Cynthia's parents encouraged her to chase her dreams and knew that a good education would be a solid base for success. Cynthia did well in school and was excited to see what the future held for her. In the early morning hours of January 19, 1970, Cynthia's alarm buzzed and she groggily rose out of bed. She ate breakfast with her family and got dressed, grabbing her tan coat, black boots, and favorite multicolored scarf. At around 7:30 a.m., she left her home and waved goodbye to her parents. Forsyth Junior High was a mile away in the 1600 block of Newport Road. Cynthia had a dislike for buses and public transport, instead opting to make the 1 mile walk each way, no matter the weather. With her, she carried her book bag and $2 to $3 in cash. The walk should have taken her no more than 20 minutes, but Cynthia never made it to her first class. Her friends were worried and hoped that she had just overslept. But when the second class came and there was still no sign of Cynthia, they began to worry even more. Cynthia's absence from school was never reported to her parents. While this may have made a difference in her case, this was 1970 and there were no mandatory reporting laws and policies at this time. Cynthia's teachers marked her absent that day, but they also believed that something was wrong. She was an excellent student and had never had an unexcused absence. A gut feeling alone wasn't enough for January 19, 1970, for teachers to delve deeper, and they prepared to talk to Cynthia the next day about her absence. Class continued as normal, and as the school bell rang, Cynthia was not amongst the crowds of youngsters heading home for the day. When she failed to return that evening, her parents called the Washtenaw County Sheriff's Office to report her missing. There is little to no information available about the investigation into Cynthia's disappearance. Most of the information available is via the Charlie Project, NAMIS, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and a handful of newspaper articles from the 1970s and 2020s. What the response was, if any, in the wake of Cynthia's disappearance is unknown. Investigators did note Cynthia's case, and she was entered as a missing person, but it is unknown what searches, if any, were performed. Months passed without word, and then on April 1st or April 2nd, 1970, the phone at the Kuhn house rang. It was Cynthia. According to her parents, Cynthia rang them twice in a two-hour period. On the phone, Cynthia told her parents that she didn't know where she was. These calls would later be traced to the Detroit, Michigan area. Cynthia's parents were hopeful that their daughter was still alive and out there somewhere. Following these calls, the Washtenaw Sheriff's Office received a tip. According to the February 14th and April 17th editions of the Ann Arbor News, there had been several reported sightings of Cynthia walking near Miller Avenue in Ann Arbor Township. Several witnesses claimed to have seen Cynthia in the area after her disappearance, and as a result, investigators came to the conclusion that she had not met with foul play. Police would clarify that none of these sightings had been confirmed, and there was no official ruling in the case. Cynthia's parents stated that their daughter had never run away from home before, and they did not believe she had left of her own volition. The Washtenaw County Sheriff's Office was eventually assigned to other cases, and Cynthia's case went cold. On May 5, 1970, the phone rang once more at the Coon home. This time, it wasn't Cynthia. A mysterious voice on the other end of the phone demanded a ransom for Cynthia's safe return. The full details of the call have never been released, and we have no idea if this call was genuine or how much they were asking for. The so-called kidnappers never communicated with Cynthia's family again, leaving them in the dark once more. For decades, her case file remained cold and has received little media attention. Each year on January 19th, Cynthia's family gathered to remember her and pray for answers. In 2008, Arthur Rehm led investigators to the hidden remains of 13-year-old Cindy Zarzycki, who disappeared on April 19, 1986, in East Point, Michigan. Cindy was the girlfriend of his son, Scott. She was last seen outside of a Dairy Queen after escaping from her home after she had been grounded. On April 18th, Cindy bolted from her home, rebelling against her father's orders so that she could see her boyfriend. By April 19th, she was gone. At the time of his arrest for the murder of Cindy, Rehm was serving a 4-to-15-year sentence for third-degree sexual conduct involving a 14-year-old girl. Investigators were already interested in the area in connection with the disappearance of Kimberly King. Shortly after his arrest, Rehm admitted to investigators that he had a fetish for young girls. He led investigators to Cindy's body a month after he was sentenced to life in prison without parole. He had attempted to bargain with them during the trial, but backed out. Rehm told investigators that he had kidnapped her from the Dairy Queen after telling her that his son Scott was throwing her a surprise party. Cindy and Scott had likely planned to meet at the Dairy Queen when she was intercepted by Rehm. He then drove her to a remote area off 23 Mile Road and North Avenue. It is believed that Rehm sexually assaulted Cindy before murdering and burying her. Rehm later changed his story, stating that he didn't murder Cindy, he only buried her body, and that her death was an accident. After this confession and leading the police to Cindy Zarzycki's burial place, Rehm was overheard bragging about the 4 to 6 other girls he had killed in Michigan in the 70s and 80s. Thankfully, one of his fellow prisoners turned him in and investigators began to look at Cynthia Coon's case. In 2018, it was announced that Rehm was officially a suspect in Cynthia Coon's case, along with the other cases that will be mentioned. After hearing of Rehm's jailhouse confession, he was subjected to a polygraph test, which he failed. He is a suspect in the disappearances of 12-year-old Kimberly King, who disappeared from Warren, Michigan on September 16, 1979, 15-year-old Kim Larrow, who disappeared from Canton, Michigan on June 8, 1981, 16-year-old Nadine O'Dell, who disappeared from Inkster, Michigan on August 16, 1974, and 17-year-old Kelly Brownlee, who disappeared from Novi, Michigan, May 20, 1982. All of these disappearances occurred within the same vicinity of Ann Arbor, where Cynthia Kuhn disappeared. Given Reem's criminal history, including a 1974 arrest for sexually assaulting a 15-year-old hitchhiker, for which he served just 4 years, police spoke to Reem in 2018 about the disappearances in the area. He refused to cooperate or tell them of his involvement, if any, to the missing girls. Local law enforcement, along with FBI agents, descended upon 23 Mile Road and North Avenue to search for other bodies. The site in question is around 24 acres. Agents believe the answers lie in a 100-square-yard section. Despite weeks of digging, no remains were found, and Reem remains uncooperative. Time is running short for Reem to change his mind and cooperate, as he is 73 years old now, but that seems doubtful, as Reem is known for playing games with investigators. Warren Police Commissioner Bill Dwyer said in an interview, "We know his history and how he's played people. It was part of Reem's profile. We understand that. He has that reputation. We knew that going in." Despite all the drawbacks, Dwyer said he remains confident in the investigation. "Our position is that we still believe that we are on the right track as far as our investigation," Dwyer said. "As far as him playing anybody, I'm not going to comment on that." While Cindy Zarzicki's family has some semblance of justice, other families are still in the dark, and investigators failed to find the remains of any of the girls linked to Reem. In a 2018 interview with Detroit Free Press, Reem stated that he and the family members deserve an apology from the police investigating the disappearances, specifically Warren Police Commissioner Bill Dwyer.
"Oh, I'd never give up on myself. I'm just saying, you know, my life is over. It's just like with Cindy the next day. You know, I knew what I did was wrong. I can't make up for the wrong I've done. If you want a real story, this detective owes the families of the six girls a big apology for getting their hopes up in this case. He owes Cindy's family a big apology for bringing up bad memories. And he owes me an apology for just getting me dragged into this. And he owes the people of Warren an apology for spending the kind of money that he did on a hunch."
Bill Dwyer's response to Reem's comments was, "There is no apology forthcoming." Cynthia Kuhn is still missing, and investigators are seeking answers in her case. If still alive today, Cynthia would be 67 years old. At the time of her disappearance, she was described as a white female with brown hair, brown eyes, 5'4", and 110 pounds. She has straight teeth and no fillings. She was last seen wearing a tan coat, black boots, a multicolored scarf, a hat, and a colorful book bag. Anyone with information is asked to contact Mike Trister of the Washtenaw County Sheriff's Office at 734-971-8400, quoting case number 70-0627. Thanks for listening. And until next time, take care.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This holiday season, give the gift of power and precision with Works Power Tools at Menards. Whether you're building, fixing, or crafting, Works drills deliver the power and control for any project. For those tougher jobs, Works impact drivers provide all the torque needed to make heavy-duty tasks a breeze. Hurry in today and pick up your 20-volt Works cordless drill or driver now at Menards.
Warm season's greetings to you all from Menards.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. Everybody needs some variety in life. That's what I love about Chumba Casino. They know how to keep things fresh and exciting. All their games are free to play, like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire. You can claim free daily login bonuses, too. And they release new games every week. So spice things up with ChumbaCasino.com now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.